Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo woo! Good Thursday morning, everybody. I am here. Keyshawn is here. LZ is here. And Isaiah is still upset. He is still sad. He is still hurt by the entire process, Key, that Michael Jordan kept him up. Jordan's the maddest of them all, for sure.
Yes.
LZ, stand down. Okay? Stand down.
He said it on TV, dog.
Stand down.
He said it.
Yeah, you tried to hurt my career. You tried to hurt my career by throwing me to the ground and doing different things to try to injure me to get me out of the game. So, yes, I am going to be still ticked off. I don't care. Period. It ain't just about not shaking no hands. I'm mixing everything together. I don't like you, and I don't like what you tried to do.
Well,
you played dirty.
According to Rob Thorne, it is not Michael Jordan who did it. He said yesterday there was never, quiz a quote, there was never anything in my conversation with Jordan that had to do with Isaiah, period. He said, I'll do it. Isaiah's name never came up during that conversation, and he never backtracked and said he didn't want to do it from that time on to those of us in the NBA office. Now, if that in fact happened, then it happened with somebody else, because when I talked to him, he ended up saying he would definitely do it. Okay, there's a lot there. Number one, he says, didn't happen, but if it did, it happened with somebody else. There you go, right? That's the case right there. Just because he didn't say it to Rod doesn't mean that it wasn't said, and Rod is willing to take the heat because Michael's Michael, and everybody wants to be on Team Michael.
Well, look, the man said that that's not what happened. And if he's saying that's what happened, until we find out something different, we need to go with that, period. I mean, we need to go with that, okay? Michael's never said that he had it happen. I would think that Michael would be stand up enough if he said why he did not like Isaiah. Why wouldn't he say, I didn't like him and I don't want him on the Olympic team? What you already told us you don't like him. So why not say, I didn't want him on the Olympic team if that was true facts?
Well, we don't know yet because they're just not getting to the episode about
Well, you know what I'm talking about based on the stuff that we've seen.
But what I will say is this. If the guy that drafted Michael Jordan and the guy that came to Michael Jordan asking again for his presence with the Dream Team in this big, huge project goes out and says, Michael Jordan was not involved in something ugly, you can either take him at his word or you can open it up and ask yourself, what's in it for him if he throws Michael underneath the bus? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Right.
What's in it for him if he protects Michael Jordan? Everything. So when given the choice, it makes all the sense in the world why he was saying.
I'm rolling with Ron.
Rod.
It's Rod.
I mean Rod, my bad. I'm rolling with Rod.
I don't believe what Rod said, but I understand why he said it, if that makes any sense. I get why he's sticking to this story. It makes perfect sense.
Yes, of course it makes perfect sense. But what doesn't make sense is, one, no one being man enough to step up and say and take ownership of it. And two, the people who are still trying to justify the selection by suggesting it was a basketball decision and not a non-basketball decision. That was not a basketball decision any more than Colin Kaepernick not playing was a football
decision. Oh, gosh.
There were other factors involved. So let's not have the conversation about basketball and let's just analyze the relationships of the members of the team.
Well, look, if they're going to make decisions, look, Isaiah deserved to be on the team, okay? We understand that. We got that. That's clear. But so did John Paxson. I mean, John Stockton, okay? He deserved to be on the team. He was a good basketball player. But sometimes in these situations, one thing outweighs the other, LZ. And maybe having a whole bunch of Isaiah, Michael Jordan types and all of those sort of things didn't necessarily fit at that time. So they elected to go with a different look, so to speak. Maybe that was the decision in the room, not Michael don't want him on the team.
That's quite possible. All I'm saying is let's, as we talk about the discussion, it'd be nicer if someone owned up to the process. because
that was it's been 30 years. That's not happening. Nobody's going to take ownership of that.
It's been 30 years and we're learning stuff now. So why couldn't we learn more stuff as the series goes on? It would be interesting to see if someone is on tape actually saying it. Now, we do know that Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas had a falling out. And we know this because they needed to have a big series on NBA, I think it was NBA TV, about them hashing things out. So maybe it was some personal relationship with Magic and Isaiah that influenced the decision making. Or maybe it was simply people's. Or maybe it was people looking and like going, you know what? Maybe Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan wouldn't get along. Whatever it is, it would be nice if someone owned up to it.
You just want to hear it.
Theories put out there.
You just want to hear it.
I choose option D, all of the above. Let's try the Sprint People's Hotline. First stop is Wes Covina and Jerome. Woo. Jerome, you're on the morning show. What's up?
What's up, guys? Okay, so this is what got me confused. 4 years ago, I watched the Dream Team. I think it was a documentary on 3030 or something like that. Michael Jordan said in that documentary that he wasn't going to play on the Dream Team with them. So that's what got me confused. I thought he said that years ago. So why is everybody saying, oh, he needs to come out and say it? Didn't he say it in that documentary?
I have no idea.
It's very clear he would not play with Isaiah Thomas.
I don't know. I didn't see that doc.
It's the Dream
Team. Which documentary was it?
I missed that
Dream Team doc.
It's called the Dream Team. It was on NBA TV.
Yeah, I Jerome, I remember seeing the documentary that you're talking about, and it was great. It was one to the point of the Last Dance. It was one of the few times that we got to see Michael in some of the format, but I do not remember him explicitly saying that. And here's why I don't think it happened. If it did, we would have seen it again in light of all the things that have happened in the last couple of days. If there was a audio or videotape of Michael Jordan saying, I would not have gone to play for the Dream Team if Isaiah would have been there, I think we would have seen that resurface. I think Isaiah would have said, no. He said it on that documentary. That's why I don't think it happened.
Well, it was reported by Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk that, and he quotes Michael Jordan as saying, that was one of the stipulations, put me on parentheses, the team, in a parentheses, that Isaiah Thomas wasn't part of the team. So that's according to Kurt Heelan as it pertains to that Dream Team doc that he's talking about. But what we haven't seen, of course, is Michael Jordan directly quoted as saying it on camera so everyone can see and digest and things of that nature. And if that's true, and if that actually is part of this documentary, Rod Thorne looks like an idiot. If Michael Jordan's on camera saying that, Rod Thorne looks like an idiot.
I don't think so. I don't think he looks like an idiot. I think he looks like a guy that's taking care of his guy.
Did Michael Jordan say it on camera?
You can be both.
Michael Jordan never said it on camera, right?
Well, we don't know. That's my point. We don't know what happens in the next couple of episodes of this documentary.
But you don't think Rod? You don't think Rod Thorne knows? Rod Thorne knows.
Well, according to Kurt Heelan, that's what Michael Jordan said to him. Or that's what Michael Jordan said, according to this report.
But I'm saying, in these documentaries coming up, don't you think they would know if he said that or not on camera?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if Rod Thorne watched the documentary or not. But put it this way.
Come on, man. Everybody done watched this documentary. That man part of the NBA. You know he done watched it.
If I'm Rod Thorne, I can come out and defend Michael Jordan, but I can't defend him by putting myself in a position that makes me look bad.
But that's why he's not going to put it. But that's why he's not going to put himself in that position, LZ.
But if Rod Thorne comes out and says, Keyshawn, that Michael Jordan did not say anything about Isaiah Thomas, and then the documentary comes out and Jordan says, yeah, I told Ron I'd do it, but Isaiah's not on the team, then Rod looks bad, period.
He's not going to put himself out there without fact-checking on the film, on the doc, and also speaking with Jordan again, I'm sure.
That last part in particular.
He's
going to go to Michael and
come
say,
on,
hey,
LZ,
look,
man.
This is the story I'm going to tell. You good with this?
Yeah. He's gonna do that. He ain't going to just put a mic in front of your face and say, hey, defend Michael. and Michael don't know what's going on, they on the same page, or they're going to be on the same page.
Michael clearly is a guy that keeps score with everything and holds on to things. So, and Rod Thorne is going to know that as well as anybody. So he's going to make sure that Michael is satisfied with whatever is going to be said, whatever is going to be shown. Keep in mind that this is a documentary that has Michael Jordan's thumbs up on it. They had to get his cooperation, his permission to do this in the first place. So, like, this stuff is going to run through Mike to a certain point, and I get why. I mean, it makes perfect sense. He's Michael Jordan. He's the reason we're as compelled by all of this as we are, and if he wants it told to be told a certain way, that's how it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, Key.
Well, yeah. That's Key, the Sean. Reason why. That's the reason why when they talk about the 1991 championship, they forgot that the Lakers had lost his leading scorer during the process of the finals.
Yeah, but we can't do that. We can't do that, though, LZ.
We just went straight to the confetti.
But we can't do that. Well, I know we lost Worthy. We can't do that because you get to doing that, and then people in Golden State going to say, well, we lost Steph Curry. And people going to say Draymond got kicked out. And you know what I'm saying? And they're going to say Kevin Durant got hurt. And we can't do that.
Well, we still remember that stuff. The Worthy piece is 30 years ago. It's kind of
Yeah, but I'm talking about in this. If you do that today, the Golden State Warrior fans and whoever else that got hurt along the way doing championships is going to say the same thing. Oh, we lost our power forward. Oh, we lost our guard. Oh, we lost the Raiders. They lost their center because he got kidnapped or whatever. Went MIA in Mexico, and we beat the Raiders. So if they had Ben Roberts, maybe we won't win that game, the Raider fans would say. So we don't want to do that.
I don't need it to paint the entire outcome of the series. But if the point of a documentary is to recap what happened in the past. And I'm not saying that they would have lost the championship if Worthy was available, but a Laker team that beat you with their leading scorer in game one and loses him for the rest of the series
I understand.
Is an important part of the
But what I'm trying to stop you from doing, what I'm trying to stop you from doing is throwing shade on Michael Jordan. But I got breaking news.
What do you got?
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, bum, bum.
Okay, somebody didn't hit the button anyway. I got a text. I just got a text now from a fan. And not only a fan, a guy who respects our show. He says, fans really appreciate y'all. All my homies, that means like his buddies, if anybody's listening.
Thank you.
ESPN LA is the blankety blankety blank, fill in the blanks, there's four words, and four letters better yet, for not doing reruns. Again, he's happy, his friends are happy that we're doing our shows from home. We keeping them upbeat, and that is a good thing to know that the fans are listening, and we appreciate y'all for doing that. Shout out to the big homies.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
The text that came your way, Key, of course, we heard from Jerome right there. If you want to weigh in and tell us how great we are on the phones, you can do that as well. 877-710-ESPN. That's the phone number, 877-710-ESPN. Episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance are coming up this Sunday, May 3rd, 6 o'clock on ESPN, streaming live on the ESPN app as well. And if you've missed episodes 1 through 4, you can stream them now on ESPN On Demand and the ESPN app. Did Aaron Rodgers have Brett Favre act as his proxy? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. See, all you got to do sometime, fellas, is ask for it, and you're going to get it. I said if anybody wants to call and tell us that we're awesome, they can do that. 877-710-ESPN. And Lopez in El Monte.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
First up. What's up, Lopez?
What's going on, man? I just want to congratulate you guys, man, on your on the job you guys are doing, man. Especially Key, man. You're the man, dog. Out of LA, dog. 6'4", homie. You just separate yourself from other receivers. They're just special athletes that come along once in a while. You're one of them, brother. I want to congratulate you, man. I'm from El Monte. This is Jose. But I want to send a shout out to my grandbabies, man. You know, I've been off of work, and it's been tough for me for the past 5 years. But I want to send a shout out to my new grandbabies that came upon in the past year. You know, I got a granddaughter, her name's Scarlett, and my little grandson, his name's Izzy Ismael, man. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, man. But I just want to give you your shout out, man. To you, man. Big ups, man. Keep doing the great job you've been doing, man.
Facts. All right, man. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep listening. And shout outs to all his grandkids.
Scarlett and Izzy, right? You got Izzy. Grandkids. Congratulations.
Yeah, for sure. Lopez. Facts.
Absolutely.
100.
877-710 ESPN.
Let me hear you say that. Let me hear you say that, Travis. Facts.
Say what? 100?
No, say facts.
No, facts. That's easy, man. Yeah, I didn't
say
facts,
but you got to say it. You got to say it in rhythm. Facts. 100 for show.
Yee. Oh, I can't do that.
Come on, man. Go, go. Here we go, real quick. Facts. 100 for show.
That's going to take like a linguistic lesson.
No, it's not. Just go.
Facts. 100 for show.
Right, no. Slow it down. Just go. Facts. 100 for show.
Facts. 100 for show.
There you go.
See
you can do it.
Yee.
We done transformed you, Mel Z.
Yee. Yeah,
ooh, nah. They ain't gonna let him back in Orange County.
Yeah,
let, yeah. All right, we I'm here for it. Whenever you guys want to teach me, I will absolutely take it. Aaron Rodgers has not said anything public since they drafted Jordan Love. There are reports that he spoke with Jordan Love and said, "Hey, you know, cool, glad to have you here," but he has not said anything publicly, whether positive or negative. Brett Favre went on with Rich Eisen yesterday and dropped this and got everybody thinking that Aaron Rodgers is not, in fact, okay with what they did.
My last one for you, Brett, and it's a difficult question, but I'm going to ask it. Certainly more difficult to answer since it looks into the future. It's the old crystal ball, and you even said yourself.
I think he'll play somewhere else.
You do. You cut me off. You think he will not end his career as a Green Bay Packer just like you?
My gut tells me no. You know, Tom Brady and myself and Joe Montana and Peyton Manning, just to name a few, finished their career elsewhere. And in my case, I played with four different teams. So I think that you're going to see that trend more and more. And I think Aaron will finish somewhere else. That's my gut. I guarantee you this, and I don't know this for certain, but I guarantee you it's got the wheels turning in Aaron's mind, which if that's the case, then that means that there's a chip on his shoulder towards the organization that otherwise was not there.
Well, there's a chip on his shoulder that wasn't there. So maybe Aaron was feeling a certain type of way, just kind of going through the motion. So maybe this energizes him, gives him a little more life. So those throws that he was missing, he could start making. On top of that, I think, you know, one thing that I think that the Packers should have done prior to drafting any player in the first round is they should have a conversation, not necessarily a conversation, but give a heads up to their franchise guy, whoever that franchise guy is. I've never experienced through my experiences, and I guess when I got to Carolina, it really didn't matter, but with my Jet stops, with my Buck stops, in my Cowboy stops, I always communicated with the front office when they was doing the draft time. They always told me, we think about doing this. I think this is going to probably help us. What you think? I think top players deserve that in all sports, that they should have a conversation with you, not for you to tell them what to do, but just a conversation to hear you out, to bounce it off of you. And I think that that's a thing that to me, the Packers went wrong at. Drafting Jordan Love, they didn't go wrong with. And I'll take this all the way to the end. Whenever you have a guy, the Dallas Cowboys just did it with a receiver. When you have somebody that you don't expect that's going to be there, that you have a higher grade on, because remember, when they're grading all the positions, top players at every spot and in orders and all of that. And Jordan Love may have had a higher grade then some of those receivers or tight ends or running backs or whoever people think they should have selected in that slot. And because that grade tells them, this is the guy, then they jump on it. Opposed to drafting for need. Where the Rams draft for need because they lost so many players at those positions. If the Rams would have said, we're not taking a receiver, we're taking a linebacker, and we're taking defensive linemen and no offensive help at all. We're not going to draft a running back. We're not taking a receiver. Now, I would sit there and go, why would y'all do that? Because you certainly 100% need that. I don't think that the Green Bay Packers need that based on the young youth of receivers that they drafted 2 years ago.
It's really interesting, conversation in regards to the decision that they made. I agree with you, Key, that it's not a bad plan to draft a franchise quarterback that falls in your lap. But when you do that, while you still have a franchise quarterback, that's the eyebrow raiser. And I understand that Aaron's not going to be there in 4 or 5 years. I understand that part of it. But that's an awfully long time to keep someone on ice with that first-round pick. It's an awfully long time.
But it doesn't matter, but you do understand other teams have drafted quarterbacks in the first round when they had quarterbacks that was not going anywhere and for quite some time, and then they already acquired quarterbacks to take over eventually. Steve Young had to sit behind Joe Montana for several years.
The San Francisco one that you just mentioned, and then the other Green Bay one where Favre was there.
I can mention the Dante Culpepper one. I can mention the Green Bay with Rodgers. I mean, look, they it happens. So I don't understand why we are making it like it should have never happened.
There's another reason why, and I think that we got a little bit of a glimpse of it yesterday when Favre was talking about this, is that Aaron Rodgers has a certain – let me use my word. He's got a deal. Okay, Aaron Rodgers has a deal, and it is the phraseology yesterday was passive-aggressive, imperial style. He's not going to come out and chuck bombs, but what he might do is very subtly and passive-aggressively go about making this very, very difficult for the upcoming season, and that's something that the Packers needed to factor in when you made that decision. And maybe that's what you're talking about, Key, with, hey, loop him in so he knows what you're getting ready to do. But the fact that he hasn't come out and said, guys, we're cool, man, this is not a big deal, I've been through this before, this is the NFL, I'm fine, that Aaron Rodgers hasn't done that, as sensitive as he is, as deal-having as he is, that Brett Favre shows up and says, yeah, I talked to him, and I think that the gears are turning, there's something there. He doesn't like this.
Yeah, but he, and if I'm a betting man, I'm a bet that Aaron Rodgers will eventually say something. It's just, you got to remember, the draft just was last Saturday, so it ain't been 5 damn days. Okay.
It's Thursday. It's been a week. They picked him on Thursday.
Or Thursday, whatever. Yeah. I said Saturday it ended, but it's been a week. Okay, since they drafted him. That's still fresh. That's still, like, I don't need to run out and counter bad punches.
We'll put a pin in it, but even if everybody's eyebrows shot up the second the pick was made, maybe you do need to get in front of it if there's nothing there.
What do I need to get in front of it for? Y'all owe me $50-something million for the pick. Get in front of nothing.
All right, John Ireland is going to join us next. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Yeah, it is. It's time to talk to John Ireland on The Morning Show. How are things going in your house, John? How's the quarantine treating you?
The quarantine is fine, Travis. Thank you for asking. I'm surviving as good as anyone else. I got to talk to Key last week during the draft. I think that everybody's in the same boat, so you might as well make the best of it. It doesn't cost any extra to be optimistic, Travis.
John, no, it does not.
John, there's a special request on this show prior to coming on and being interviewed. I need you to say three things for me quick, okay, though, right? They got to be in sequence.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Say facts 100 for show. Real quick, though. Facts 100 for
facts
show.
Facts 100 for show.
No go. Facts 100 for show.
Facts 100 for show.
Okay, yeah, that's not bad. A little better than Travis.
No, I got it on the first try.
When we start basketball back up, doing a call, when you go LeBron James to the cup and slam dunk, facts for show 100. You got to give me all that now.
I will do it for you.
All right.
We're friends with Michelle Tafoya, and we used to do a thing with her called Mystery Word, and we'd give her a phrase to work into a game. And it would be something that she wouldn't normally say. But if she worked in, and she's a big animal rights activist, we would do a donation to the animal rights people in Minnesota where she lives, and she somehow miraculously got it in every time. So for you, Keyshawn, give me a phrase, I'll get it in.
Yeah, facts, man. That's for sure.
For sure.
So tell me about this. So we've been debating all morning long, and not debating, but discussing and having these conversations about Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson, Dream Team, Michael Jordan, freezing out, all of these sort of things that's going on. What do you think happened during that whole Olympic run, a 92 Dream Team? Do you think Michael Jordan went to the NBA and said, I'm not playing if Isaiah's on his team, or do you think he just sat back and they realized this is probably not a good idea because we're going to lose Jordan and possibly Magic?
No, for my money, he had to have said something. And remember, Magic and Isaiah were not getting along then either. So the two biggest stars on your Dream Team were Michael and Magic, and neither one of them wanted Isaiah. And, LZ, I heard you talking about this, and I heard you say that Isaiah deserved to be on the Dream Team. Well, if you did it strictly on merit, on guys who deserve to be on it, Shaq would have been on ahead of Christian Laettner. Isaiah would have been on ahead of, you know, probably John Stockton. But it wasn't that. It was they were selling basketball to the world, and if Jordan and Magic were indicating that they weren't going to be happy if Isaiah was on the team, then that's it. Discussion's over.
No, I 100% agree with you. My only thing is that no one wants to, at least I haven't seen anyone on camera take ownership for that. And if you're going to go on camera and put Isaiah in a position where he has to find himself defending something that happened from 30 years ago, I'm going to assume somewhere within the next few episodes of the documentary series that there's some ownership taken in this. Because it feels as if, and happy birthday, by the way, I think it's Isaiah Thomas' birthday today, which is a nice birthday present. He gets to have this discussion over and over again and we open fresh wounds. But it just feels like if you're going to go and call someone an a-hole and put them on blast like that, just go ahead and, like, own the rest of it. Like, at this point, what's the big deal, right? Like, why the mystery? You know, unless you just like twisting the knife in his heart by not even giving him the closure of owning it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think some of this may stem, and I'd be curious what you guys think. Some of this may stem from the fact that if you go back over that Bulls-Pistons rivalry, the Pistons were a better team in the late 80s. They were knocking out the Bulls. Jordan didn't have the teammates, and he didn't have Phil Jackson yet. And when Jordan became unguardable, rather than try and find a way within the confines of the game to guard him, they just decided to try and take his head off.
John, I've been knocking that one upside Travis's and LZ's head to get them to understand, and not necessarily Travis, but LZ to understand, it's just not the handshake. It's you try to end my career.
Correct.
So I'm going to hold a grudge. The same thing as a football player. If you tried to do something to me illegal, I'm going to figure out how to dislike you, and I'm going to figure out how to do something to you when I get the opportunity to.
But why? So why won't Michael take ownership of that, though? I think we all agree with that, that it's not just
because he doesn't need to tell you what he... Because
he doesn't need to tell you. Hasn't he? I mean, if you go back and watch the doc, or even go back to when Jordan used to go on Letterman, he would come right out and say, well, they can't guard me, so they've decided to change the rules of the sport.
That's what
the Pistons did, and I don't think that, and you know, they embraced it, and they called themselves bad boys, and they, you know, they said anybody who comes near the rim is going to hit the floor. That's kind of, if a guy's lighting you up, my high school coach used to say, if a guy's lighting you up, you gotta knock him down. You've gotta make him uncomfortable. That's one thing, LZ, but as a guy who plays as much pickup as you do, the one thing that I cannot let go, and I'm a lot skinnier and a lot smaller than you, If you took me out midair in a game, and I know, and I was lighting you up, and you said I can't guard him, I'm gonna take him out midair and try and hurt him. I know I'm probably gonna get my ass kicked, but I'm coming right for your throat.
No,
I can't let that go.
But why doesn't Jordan say that? Why doesn't Michael Jordan say, "Yeah, I didn't want him on the Dream Team. The guy tried to break my neck. I don't want to be a teammate of that guy." That we'd all understand it from the reasons you just said. Why not say that?
Well, he didn't say those exact words in the beginning, but he did, in fact, say what they tried to do to him. That's one of the reasons he got in the weight room, is because he needed to get stronger to try to handle the abuse. He didn't say he didn't want him on a dream team because of it. At least he hasn't said it thus far in the first four episodes. We don't know what's going to happen in the next six, but he didn't say it in the first four. But he did indicate that he had a problem with their tactics and what they were doing.
Go ahead, LZ.
Listen. I'm not here to make excuses for any player, any team. I'm just simply remembering the era. And it seems mighty interesting to me that when we have so many highlights of fisticuffs and player bodies being snatched out of the sky from 76ers and the Celtics and the Lakers, that it's all about this one particular. We don't even talk about the fact that the New York Knickerbockers, after the Pistons, did the exact same thing to Michael.
In the mid-90s,
it had stronger players trying to take him out. We don't even talk about that. We hone in on this one particular moment in time, and I'm like going, but wait a minute.
Well,
because the Pistons embraced it.
Not only did they embrace it, John, they won championships where the Knicks ain't won nothing.
So, and LZ, here's the thing that surprises me because I know you play a lot of hoop. So Jordan, they can't stop him. He's unguardable. Right. They decide the strategy they're going to come up with is they'll create these Jordan rules, and if he gets anywhere in the paint, we're going to take his head off. Then Jordan, even with them doing that, sweeps him, beats him 4-0. And then you walk off the court with 7 seconds left when in the 2 years prior, when you were beating him, I was shocked that I had forgotten that back in those days, you could interview a losing player. You can't do that on the court now. When Michael lost Game 7 in 1990,
yeah, they interviewed him.
Pat O'Brien went right to Michael.
Yeah.
And he goes, they were the better team today. They won. So the Pistons, led by Isaiah, and he was their leader, make no mistake about it, best player on the team, first guy to go into the Hall of Fame. When the Pistons, I thought that was chicken bleep when he tried to say, Bill Laimbeer decided we're all going to walk off the court. Well, Isaiah,
we all laughed at that.
It's your team. It's your team. I mean, if Bill Laimbeer wants to walk off the court, let him. But where were you as the leader of that team to show what you were all about? You walked off the court like a little you-know-what when there was 7 seconds left. And I agree with Jordan. There's nothing you can convince me of or show me now that doesn't make me think that that was one of the all-time biggest loser moves you could make.
See, I don't care about that. Walk off, if we beat you and you want to walk off, I could care less. I don't want to shake your hand anyway. I'll catch you in the locker room or walking through the tunnel or catch you at the club when we celebrate. And I could care less, John, about you shaking my hand. I really can.
Right, but then, Key, if you want to come back at me and say, why aren't you on the Dree team, you know.
I'm not holding you out of the Dream Team because you didn't shake my hand. I'm most likely holding you out of the Dream Team for a number of things that just happens to be
all of it. It's a cumulative totally. It's not just the handshake. It's the handshake. It's the physicality. It's the fact that they didn't like each other.
And you probably said something real slick about my dude number 32 that played for the Lakers. And now
that's
I know
another
that
part of it.
Maybe, but the biggest thing to me, guys, is that you tried to take my head off.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And if you think I'm going to look the other way at that, if you think I'm going to turn the other way and say it's just part of the game, that's my life, man. You're trying to break my leg. You know, in every sport, there's a line you can't cross, and the Pistons were crossing it every game.
All right, John, let me get to this real quick. The Lakers are trying to figure out what to do with this facility, opening it up in El Segundo. How far have they gotten with the mayor's office in terms of trying to finalize some things?
Okay, two things about that. Number one, any conversation they have, they're going to medical people first. They're involving the mayor, but they're being guided by their doctors. They have a deal with UCLA Health, who's the title sponsor for their practice facility, and they have at their disposal every doctor in the UCLA Health system. So what they're doing is they're checking with the doctors first, and then they're going to the mayor, and it's because it's a competitive thing. I mean, if the Atlanta Hawks are going back in and the Milwaukee Bucks are going back in, they want to know with the mayor and be ahead of these conversations, hey, if they go back in, is it pliable? Are we even allowed to ask you, if we have our doctor's permission, can we open our facility for individual workouts? So that's what those are about, Key. Number one, they're talking to the doctor, and number two, they're just having those conversations in case other teams start up. They want to know, are we allowed to do that too? So that's what that's about.
John Ireland. 2:55 today, Mason and Ireland coming up. John, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Have a great show, boys. See you.
Facts, John. Facts.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Show.
He forgot the 100 part. It's complicated. It is absolutely. No, I think I absolutely get why it happened. I absolutely get why Michael felt the way that he did. I understand all of the pieces that were talking. The one piece of this that I don't quite have straight in my head is, why not just say it? Why not just say, yeah, you know what? Isaiah and I don't get along. I didn't want him on the team, so I flexed my muscles a little bit. That's the only part I don't understand.
You may get to it.
Yeah.
We haven't seen the rest of the episodes.
Or whoever is the person that pulled that particular trigger, just own up to it. But at the end of the day, he wasn't on the team, and he still
heard about it. He deserved to be on the team.
Still upset about it.
He deserved to be on
all
the team.
True.
He deserved
all
to be
true.
On the team.
Deserved to be on it, and Michael had the juice to keep him off. It's all true. Take it or shake it. Coming up next. All right, Key, let's start with an NFL topic. We'll continue the conversation. Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had Brett Favre act as his proxy to deliver that news. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, you're still not a believer.
Shake it.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers told Brett Favre, because Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre have a different type of relationship anyway. That relationship is a little icy. It's not the best of, you know, relationships. So I don't believe that he would ask.
According to Favre, though, Key, that they've come around. They're better than they've ever been.
And that's the same thing Isaiah thought too. But anyway, it's one of those deals where that was a good one. I came back fast on that one. Huh?
That was pretty quick.
He's just talking because Favre lived it, so it sounds like it's something coming from somebody else. But because Favre lived it, he's giving you what Aaron Rodgers might be feeling without saying. This is what he probably is feeling like. He ain't delivered it to you the right way, so to speak. You know, he kind of left some stuff out. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he's probably 95% correct because he felt it himself. So he knows how these things go down. He's seen it. Whether it was Steve Young in Montana or Dante Culpepper and Randall Cunningham or himself in Rodgers, he's seen these things. He's seen how these things have unfolded and developed over time.
Here's the part, though, Key. This, I want to read this to you real quick. I'm not going to talk about all that we talked about, but let's just say he was surprised they went in that direction. It's those little, hey, I talked to him, and I don't want to give it all up, but yeah, he's a little surprised they went in that. There's just enough of Aaron told me that he doesn't like it. That's basically what that says.
I believe you.
Basically.
I believe you.
Oh, so take it then. Take it.
I believe you. I believe you. I believe you believe that, but I don't believe Aaron Rodgers told him to do it.
He just, nah. I mean, that, what would, I mean, does it have to be that explicit that Aaron Rodgers told me to come on the TV or the radio and say he doesn't like it? Because by saying, hey, look, we talked about a lot of stuff. I'm not going to give it to you exactly, but let's just say he was really surprised. That's a pretty direct line.
Yeah, but him saying he was surprised, he's surprised because he probably thought they were going to do something different. And they just took a quarterback. Not surprised that they're trying to replace him or nothing like that. Just the position that they took.
All right, let's go to another one here. According to Dan Orlovsky, he was on Get Up the other morning. He's talking about Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, that he believes they're going to use Hurts the way that Cordell Stewart got used with the Steelers back in the day. Let's listen to Orlovsky.
And everyone continues to talk that Jalen Hurts is Taysom Hill. I actually think that Jalen Hurts is going to be used a little bit like Cordell Stewart early on in his career. Cordell Stewart's first year, he had about 7 pass attempts, 15 carries, and 14 catches. And then his second year, he had like 30 pass attempts, 40 carries and 17 catches. And that was part of his development. I see them using Jalen Hurts like the Steelers used Cordell Stewart.
Jalen Hurts is the next Cordell Stewart. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
No.
I don't see them using him quite like that. I think what they're going to do is they're going to get him ready to be a replacement for Carson Wentz, even though he has a big contract, because the simple fact is Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. And they need a viable backup to be there to be ready to go.
So he's the quarterback. He's not Slash.
No, he's not slash. No, he's a quarterback. He's a quarterback. So you don't try to turn him into something that he's not. That's why he never worked out at another position at the combine. He worked out at quarterback, and he specifically told them, this is what I'm going to do. This is the Andy Reid philosophy, which is Mike Holmgren's philosophy, which is Ron Wolf's philosophy. Now Doug Peters has this philosophy, much like they did with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. That's exactly what this is. He's got a contract, but he's got a lot of injuries. So let's see how far this can go as we continue to develop him to be an NFL quarterback, much like Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. Let's continue to develop him, because they too didn't necessarily have to take a quarterback, because there were going to be quarterbacks available as backups. But they took a guy that they felt could potentially take over at some point in time.
All right, let's do one more right here. The NCAA is going
to ease
the
restrictions. I love when they try to make dudes something that they not.
The NCAA is going to ease restrictions on athletes' ability to go make money on their name and likeness. It will mean more kids decide to go play college basketball than go to the G League. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
All right, take it.
There'll be more kids that'll decide. Now, whether or not the G League want those kids, I just hope that those kids make the right decisions and the right choices and not think that everybody is welcomed in the G League, because that is not the case. They're not just going to – just because you put your name in a hat, they're going to select you. That doesn't – it don't work that way. And you see kids make mistakes in the NFL as well as in the NBA, come from college thinking they're going to be top NBA players and top NFL draft picks, and they wind up going undrafted, and the rest is history.
I think it's going to – that kid that is kind of on the fence, that maybe could go to the G League, but you know what? I don't have to worry about the money exactly, because I can go to UCLA. I can do a car dealership thing. I can do a cell phone store thing. I can sign some autographs. That might decide to keep him at UCLA. I think it's going to make a difference the other way. I think so the NCAA is going to get some guys because of this that otherwise might say, you know what? I'm not going to graduate anyway. I'm going to go give this a shot.
Yeah, I think that's the case, because that a lot of kids, you know, they want to play sports. They ain't, you know, at the end of the day, they're like, man, school, I'm going to get some money and help my family. So I understand it.
I mean, the thing that's so crazy to me is that with a player, for instance, like Luka Doncic, when we talk about him, we brag over the fact that he played against grown men and he has been playing like since he was 13 years old and blah, 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 blah. And we see it as a good thing. But when it comes to the American players, we want to make it seem as if they can't play professionally yet. They need this in order to develop. And it just seems like there's either some inconsistency or hypocrisy happening, where we sell one scenario for the foreign players, but for domestic players, we make it seem as if they were to play basketball at 17 years old against professionals, that would somehow be wrong and damaging to their career.
All right. Another one of our good idea guys has been hijacked by somebody else. I'll tell you what it is next on The Morning Show at 710 ESPN.